In fact, the Trump administration is arguing that FCPA enforcement puts U.S. companies at a disadvantage in global markets, and this can have serious national security concerns. In my view, this is more of a policy argument than whether FCPA enforcement has been excessive or unpredictable. Rather, this gets to the point of the impact and what is the impact of increased costs, enforcement, and compliance have on companies when competing in the global economy.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Well, hello, everyone. Mike Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. And what an episode we have for you. In incredible and a surprise move, I never thought I'd be talking about this, but the Trump administration hits pause on FCPA enforcement and the implications. In an unprecedented action, the Trump administration pushed the button and ended FCPA enforcement at least for 180 days. Until new guidance is issued by the Attorney General. The White House's announcement seemed to take everyone by surprise, but in the end was expected in light of a recent announcements coming from Attorney General Bondi and the issuance of various memoranda, which we'll go through. In an executive order that appeared to flip the world on its head upside down, as we say, President Trump signed an executive order halting all FCPA enforcement prosecutions, presumably. This will eventually reach the SEC because it's an executive order. However, it's limited to the Justice Department at this point, noting that the FCPA, quote, has been systematically and to a steadily increasing degree stretched beyond proper bounds and abused in a manner that harms the interests of the United States, close quote. Indeed, the executive order noted that, quote, current FCPA enforcement impedes the United States' foreign policy objectives and therefore implicates the president's Article II authority over foreign affairs, close quote. Further, President Trump's executive order cited the fact that he was acting to promote, quote, the global economic competitiveness of American companies, close quote, which furthers, quote, again, strategic business advantages, whether in critical minerals, deep water ports, or other key infrastructure assets. Underlying this global economic concern, the executive order noted that, quote, overexpansive and unpredictable FCPA enforcement against American citizens and businesses, quote, for routine business practices in other nations, not only wastes limited prosecutorial resources that could be dedicated to preserving American freedoms, but actively harms American economic competitiveness and therefore national security. In light of these findings, the executive order directs the Attorney General for a period of 180 days to review guidelines and policies governing investigations and enforcement actions under the FCPA, during which the Attorney General shall, one, cease initiation of any new FCPA investigations or enforcement actions unless the Attorney General determines that an individual exception should be made. Two, review in detail all existing FCPA investigations or enforcement actions and take appropriate action with respect to such matters to restore proper bounds on FCPA enforcement and preserve presidential foreign policy prerogatives. And three, issue updated guidelines or policies as appropriate to adequately promote the president's Article II authority to conduct foreign affairs and prioritize American interests, American economic competitiveness with respect to other nations, and the efficient use of federal law enforcement resources. The Attorney General is authorized to extend the 180-day period for an additional 180 days. Any FCPA investigations continued or initiated after the review period must be specifically authorized by the Attorney General. Interestingly, and raising the prospect of remedial measures because of past enforcement actions, I can't imagine how this would work, where companies would seek to be repaid for any penalties that they paid. The Attorney General, quote, shall determine whether remedial measures with respect to inappropriate past FCPA investigations and enforcement actions are warranted and shall take any such appropriate actions, or if presidential action is required, recommend such actions to the president. At the core, the Trump administration noted that U.S. companies are harmed by FCPA over-enforcement because they are prohibited from engaging in practices common among international competitors, creating an uneven playing field. Further, the Trump White House asserted that the U.S. needs to preserve, quote, strategic advantages in critical minerals, deepwater ports, and other key infrastructure or assets around the world, close quote. With respect to the FCPA, the White House explained that, quote, FCPA interpretation and enforcement by U.S. prosecutors has broadened, imposing a growing cost on our nation's economy, close quote. The Trump administration explained that this action is intended to prioritize American economic and security interests and ensure U.S. businesses have the tools to succeed globally. So what does this mean? What an incredible turn of events. Who would have predicted that the Trump administration would take such a bold action in the name of advancing American competitiveness? I'm sure that boardrooms, C-suites, and all of us legal and compliance professionals are stunned. And how are we supposed to respond? Companies have spent years and millions of dollars investing in ethics and compliance programs, recognizing that they face significant FCPA enforcement risks, not only in the United States, but in other countries as well. It made sense to build effective anti-corruption compliance programs because the stars were aligned. Ethical companies perform better in the marketplace. We all know that. And protecting against bribery and corruption risks serves a vital part of a company's overall ethics and compliance program. Certainly, the message going forward is not, let's go out and bribe government officials to win foreign business. But what is the message? As pointed out in the fact sheet accompanying the executive order, the pause was needed to recalibrate FCPA enforcement because there was quote-unquote excessive and quote-unquote unpredictable FCPA enforcement that was making American companies less competitive in the global marketplace. To translate this a little, the point being made is that, one, prosecutors had stretched the meaning of the FCPA to apply to situations that were beyond the intent of the law. Two, companies complained because there were costs being imposed by aggressive interpretations of FCPA provisions and limitations. Now, just to show my age and going back in time almost 15 years ago, and as Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again, but these arguments were made effectively almost 15 years ago in 2009 and 2010 that FCPA enforcement was hurting American businesses. The effort was made to reform the FCPA, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was leading the charge. I had the honor of testifying at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in 2010 on these issues, along with Andrew Weissman and Professor Mike Kohler, the FCPA professor. It was a fascinating debate. But if you go watch that, you'll notice that much of this is the same debate. There is no question, however, that FCPA enforcement has always been a controversial issue. Whether the statute was being followed, whether prosecutors were stretching the law beyond what was intended, and whether business and individuals were being subjected to a vacillating set of standards that made compliance difficult. On the other hand, there were certain core concepts that few would disagree about. But the Trump administration is raising a question that goes beyond the traditional legal line drawing exercise and the enforcement of consistent standards. In fact, the Trump administration is arguing that FCPA enforcement puts U.S. companies at a disadvantage in global markets, and this can have serious national security concerns. In my view, this is more of a policy argument than whether FCPA enforcement has been excessive or unpredictable. Rather, this gets to the point of the impact and what is the impact of increased costs, enforcement, and compliance have on companies when competing in the global economy. And my initial reaction to this approach is to determine whether U.S. companies are being unfairly burdened. After all, global anti-corruption laws now are somewhat commonplace in 2025. We have the UK Bribery Act, the Clean Companies Act from Brazil, Sapin 2 in France, and others have a life of their own, and companies have to respond to these laws and the risk of enforcement. But maybe the point is that no one but the US DOJ is so aggressive when it comes to FCPA enforcement, that the US DOJ approach distinguishes the US from the other countries' enforcement schemes. In the end, DOJ's guidance on this new frontier, which is opened up, will tell all. If DOJ constrains FCPA enforcement by pulling back on some of the more aggressive approaches taken by DOJ on a number of issues, that will be interesting. On the other hand, if DOJ's guidance restricts all FCPA cases going forward to those only involving cartels and transnational criminal organizations as set forth in the Bondi Memorandum, that will mean a very different enforcement scheme. So what's going to be interesting here is, what is the guidance going to look like in 180 days? And the questions surrounding this are swirling. In some respects, we may have had a preview from the Bondi memo. It is hard to know what will happen beyond some basic points. Let's start with what the memo issued by Attorney General Bondi, which was entitled Total Elimination of Cartels and Transnational Criminal Organizations. Now, as explained in the memorandum, the Justice Department is reprioritizing the allocation of resources requiring, quote, a fundamental change in mindset and approach, close quote, to pursue total elimination of cartels and transnational criminal organizations, TCOs. Federal prosecutors must now work urgently to eliminate these threats to U.S. sovereignty. Attorney General Bondi directed prosecutors to engage in aggressive charging decisions to include capital crimes, terrorism charges, racketeering charges, continuing criminal enterprise charges, as well as violations of the Foreign Narcotics Kingpin Designation Act, violations of IEPA, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and machine gun charges. In the mix now, and don't forget this, is going to be the aggressive use of criminal sanctions. In a separate section entitled Removing Bureaucratic Impediments to Aggressive Prosecutions, DOJ expects U.S. attorneys' offices across the country to lead the charge. To maximize efficiency, DOJ eliminated a number of internal review and approval requirements. Federal prosecutors in the field will appreciate removal of these bureaucratic requirements, and I can well attest to that. When I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., there were a bunch of bureaucratic requirements which would definitely slow down the indictment and prosecution of a case. And these are applied in capital cases, racketeering cases, terrorism cases, and IEPA cases. With respect to IEPA, a recent executive order, for example, designated cartel and TCO members as foreign terrorist organizations and specially designated global terrorists, signaling DOJ's intent to focus federal prosecutorial resources on dismantling several notorious global gangs, Tren de Aruga, TDA, La Mara Salvatrucha, which is MS-13, and that's been around for a while, the Sinaloa Cartel, and the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. But as part of this memorandum, we had a discussion about the FCPA. And in a significant direction, however, and one with real implications for FCPA enforcement, the AG Bondi memo instructs the FCPA unit to, quote, prioritize investigations related to foreign bribery that facilitate the criminal operations of cartels and TCOs and shift focus away from investigation and cases that do not involve such a connection. Examples of such cases include bribery of foreign officials to facilitate human smuggling and the trafficking of narcotics and firearms, close quote. Adding to this new direction, the Bondi memo eliminates requirements that field offices no longer have to seek authorization and the participation of DOJ attorneys to conduct FCPA investigations. In other words, you used to have a DOJ headquarters attorney assigned to the case. Now you can have U.S. attorneys' offices bringing these cases themselves. This is a significant reform, and from a line prosecutor's perspective, will absolutely increase the ability of local AUSAs to prosecute serious cases. That's where all the action is anyways. Additionally, the money laundering and asset forfeiture section has been ordered to prioritize investigations, prosecutions, and asset forfeiture actions that target activities of cartels and TCOs. In other words, away from the Russia sanctions and away from the Russia oligarchs, now let's focus on cartels and transnational criminal organizations. In a related move, and reflecting this reassessment, AG Bondi disbanded the task force Klepto Capture, the department's kleptocracy team, and the Kleptocracy Asset Recovery Initiative. Prosecutors assigned to these units will return to their full-time posts and be reassigned to focus on total elimination of cartels and TCLs. Well, what can we say about the implications now for FCPA guidance and what's going to occur? The Bondi memo gives us a glimpse of what the new FCPA guidance may and may likely contain. By tying FCPA enforcement to cartels and TCOs, this may raise a whole new set of risks and need for internal controls. As we always say, the devil is in the details. All of a sudden, business interactions that we may have in, let's say, geographic regions such as Mexico or other areas where these TCOs operate may raise more risks. What is clear is that the old way of FCPA enforcement may be long gone, and a new era of national security-related prosecutions will be beginning. Keep in mind, again, for global companies, the old, end quote, set of standards will continue to apply. The Clean Companies Act, Brazil, the UK Bribery Act, SAPIN II, France, and of course, the OECD Anti-Bribery Convention, which has over 100 countries that have signed on to it. Make no mistake, however, the landscape has shifted, and we don't know exactly precisely how this is going to change until the guidance is issued, implications are measured, and the ripples of change have reached the opposite shore. Should be an interesting time, folks, and we'll, of course, stay on top of this issue because it is so important. But thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.